Happy 24th birthday, Tommy.
15 years running.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. These cocktails are already getting to me.
Yes.
All right, listen, guys, on today's show, we welcome back singer Davis Mallory to discuss his latest single, Dance With Me, a collaboration with French DJ Loic Panillo. I said it right. We have more on Davis on the second half of the show. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I'm here with my crazy, I hate them bitches, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
Oh, she sounded more. And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
All right, so I had an alternate opener for that. But you guys sort of kind of stole my thunder.
What was your opener, Tommy?
There was nothing in there. And you never tell us how old you are, so we just have to take guesses.
Well, you were about to find out.
Oh.
She was going to reveal it?
Yeah, but now you have to wait till next year.
Till next year? God damn it. Well, more educated guesses.
Like, seriously, I was like, oh, God, I survived my... And then I put ... And then I said, did you guys do an opener? He goes like, yeah, you'll like it. I'm like, delete.
I was like, it's empty here. I see nothing, which means we can go for it.
Oh, no, it was there.
Oh.
And then I took it out.
I'm chilly.
Oh, she's chilly. Oh, you're cold?
Yeah, I'm cold.
I'm sorry. I like to freeze my people out. I'm a dead person, you know. After last night, yeah, I am dead. So I guess I'll start off and talk about my weekend. So it was my birthday weekend, and Friday night, my friend Jack came up from New York, and she is my absolute dearest friend. I've loved her since forever.
I got her drunk last night.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, and I gave her water with every cocktail.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for that.
Caring.
So I ended up going to our favorite little watering hole here, Dive Bar, for a quick dinner before we went out for a night in the town. And I went to Dive Bar, and these ladies, who we absolutely love, ended up giving me three margaritas that were like all tequila. So I ended up going, you're scaring me.
No, you're good.
Okay.
Did you hit start broadcast? You did.
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Okay. I don't know why I just thought of that. Anyway, sorry. So, margaritas.
So, I ended up getting like three very strong margaritas. And after...
Is there any other kind?
No.
But I'm telling you, Dive Bar, they like love us there. But I think
they appreciate the swag that we have, like the swish. So, they were like, if we give them more tequila, we can watch them walk out. And it's hysterical.
And I've seen them literally pour tequila into our margaritas. And they just go, whoo!
They're like, whoops.
Yeah,
I'll be fine with them.
So anyway, so I get home. We're like, oh, let's take a breather. I sit on my couch. I push the button back, and I am out. Woke up at 1 in the morning. No one went out.
Don't you love those days? And you're like, you wake up in a daze. You're like, fuck.
I was like, I was supposed to go out tonight. I was supposed to have a good time. But anyway, so then Saturday came along. I worked at the bar. It was an amazing night. It was pretty busy. I did pretty well. And then Sunday night, I worked at the bar again, but I went out for brunch, and I ended up having like 8 or 9 freaking mojitos. Them things are dangerous.
I could not believe you were still standing when
eight
you showed
up. 8 or 9 of anything is dangerous.
So I ended up, so we went to brunch at 2, and we didn't leave there until 7:30. Yeah, it was brunch.
And you had to be to work at 9:30?
Uh-huh, 9:30. So I came back, grabbed my computer, grabbed Jack, and we're like, all right, let's go. We're going to go karaoke now. And we got to the bar, I set up, and I get to the bar. And the first thing I notice is that the table that I normally get in the kitchen to put all my equipment on top of was already out. And I'm like... something's up. These bitches don't want me to go in the kitchen. And I'm like, and I'm looking around, where's Trish? And of course, our other fellow bartender's like, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know where she went. She's somewhere. She's probably taking a dump upstairs, which is usually the place where we go, and we don't want, you know, customers to know that we're
Pooping,
yeah. And so, anyway, we started the night. It was an amazing night. Great turnout. A lot of people came out and sang songs that I absolutely love and that I requested. And all of a sudden, these bitches pop out with like 400 cupcakes and balloons. And they sang Happy Birthday. And it was really, really a very great weekend. And Dave paid Nick a compliment for the first time ever. Dave is the owner of the bar. He was like, Nick really went out of his way. I mean, he did an amazing job. He organized everything. But he called me like 5 times. Oh, my gosh, she's annoying.
And then he proceeded to throw like a Chinese star in her face or something. You know, you can't just give her a compliment.
Well, I kept calling him because we decided to go with Sugar Cupcakes, which is an amazing bakery locally. And they just make the most amazing cupcakes. But
they're in East Haven, right?
But it was also... It's also Bernie's birthday today, mm-hmm. and he was supposed to be there and celebrating with us, so I didn't know how many cupcakes he wanted me to get. And so I called him, and he told me to get 3 dozen. And then he called me back and said, where's all the cash in your drawer? You had no cash last night. What's going on? And I was like, Dave, we talked about this last night. By the way, we should probably get 4 dozen, and this is how much it costs. Is that okay? So it was not just me calling him. He was like, where's my money?
So, P.S. Bernie didn't make it.
So if it comes to 40 nope. cupcakes and you were getting you one for each year, was it just right? Too many? Too little?
Something like that.
I think it was one extra.
We'll have to wait until next year to find out if that's right, apparently.
Exactly.
We were so close to
it. Yeah. I literally had it in the notes. And Nick said, no, we got it.
I get notifications on my phone, so I'm pretty sure I know your age.
Okay. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet.
All right. Moving on. Anyway, so welcome back to the show. My weekend was great. Now let's talk to the boys and see how their weekend went. So why don't we start with Christopher this time, just in case we leave Trish out.
No, just nothing too eventful. Just doing a lot of homework and just hanging out and relaxing.
Your boyfriend was up.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about that?
We just had a nice time. Mm-hmm. I stayed home. We stayed home a lot, and he's I had always a lot up. Of work to do.
Or that he's always down.
Were you wearing clothes?
I exercised my constitutional Fifth Amendment right.
This is not a courtroom, honey. Sorry.
I proceed as what I said.
I object. I object. Anyway, Trish?
I had a crazy weekend. I had to work straight through the weekend, and it was not easy. And it's just too intense to talk about. You guys don't want to hear about the crap that I went through.
You're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys have heard some of it. It was intense. So we don't need to walk down that road.
Yeah.
But we had a nice night last night for your birthday.
Thank you.
We showed up today at the studio, and Tom got himself a new mic for his birthday. It's a chode mic. Yes, it looks like a chode.
It's the mic with the Irish right. curse.
For a lot of podcasters, it's actually an SM7B.
Chode mic.
It's a short mic. It's,
in layman's terms.
It's a great microphone.
And it comes with an extender, so...
It does. And you guys might get one, too, so just shut up.
I've grown accustomed to this one, actually. Thank you.
Yeah. All I can say is that, you know, Nick had a lot of playing around with... what was I going to say? He had a lot of playing around with plywood and mattresses.
I did. But, you know...
But he wasn't laying on them.
Today also is kind of, it's Bernie's birthday today, but it's also...
That's right. Happy birthday, Bernie.
Happy birthday, Bernie.
We know you listen.
But it's also my papa.
Oh.
Papa's birthday. And I want to read a text message he sent to me this morning, which was super, super sweet. He sent, and it went on for a while, but I'm not going to read all of that. But he sent, on my 61st birthday, as I start on my 62nd year, I wanted to tell you how much I love you and how proud I am of all of you. Even though you all have added the gray hairs on my head and probably a few points to my blood pressure, as I look back, I must admit that I am proud of the people that you have all grown up to be. So I wanted to give my papa a shout out. And I'm going to call him right now to see what's going to... I'm going to call my dad. And we're going to see how he reacts, because he asked me earlier why I've never had him on the show. So let's see what happens here, guys.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Daddy. Can we be crazy?
Not too crazy.
Okay.
He's grilling, and he was fixing a sprinkler, so he may not pick up. Come on, Papa Smurf.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Hello. Thanks for calling. I'm sorry I can't take your call right now. If you leave me a message at the tone, I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, hello, Mr. Bussett. This is Domino's Pizza calling. We've got your 3 large pizzas with pepperoni and sausage, and you're not answering your phone. I need to deliver. Answer your phone.
Also, this is your son and the other 2 hosts of Gay Talk 2.0, and we're calling to say happy birthday. If you call me back, you'll have a little spot on the show. All right. Love you, Papa. Bye.
Bye, Pops. That's awesome.
That was great.
I've got your delivery. I've got all your meats, baby.
I was really hoping he would pick up.
That would have been fun.
That would have been super fun.
Yeah. All right. All right. So we've got some stories that we need to cover, as always. You guys know that we do the dish. But before we do that, we've got to let Christopher tell us a little bit about, our delicious cocktail.
I was going to say, Nick kind of set us up for the segue. He's like, instead of walking down that path, I was like, well, it's best to walk down that path rather than drive down that path after these cocktails. Mm. So today's cocktail is the Non-Classico Spritz by Lauren Hubbard, which I found on townandcountrymagazine.com. Mm. I like it a lot, actually. We were going to be boring and just go vodka, vodka.
townandcountrymag.com.
Yeah, but it's okay. Excuse me. If you're going to type it in, yes, Tom, you're right. Correction. Yes, it's townandcountrymag.com. If you want to go on, you could learn some cocktails or find this cocktail on there. But you can just go on our website to find out what our cocktail was in the show notes. So today's cocktail, again, the Non-Classico Spritz, consists of bitters. We are using grapefruit bitters for this one.
Delicious.
Yes, definitely. And I doubled the recipe. So I'm using 2 ounces of vodka, 1.5 ounce grapefruit juice, 1/2 ounce Saint Germain, and 2 ounces Prosecco. You combine all the ingredients except for the Prosecco into a shaker, shake it up, strain over fresh ice in a wine glass, top it off with the Prosecco, and garnish with a grapefruit twist.
And why don't you put the Prosecco in the shaker?
Because you don't want to shake all the bubbles out. You want to, after you shake it and strain it, you add the Prosecco on top. Anything that's carbonated, you always add at the end.
Yeah. Why? Because it blows up in your face if you throw it in the shaker with the pressure.
It can.
I learned that the hard way.
It can. Oh, honey, please. You don't want to lose the bubbles. You don't want to lose the bubbles.
But either way, it's very delicious. So thank you for making our cocktails. And cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Happy birthday, Tom, Happy Bernard, birthday. And my papa.
Yes, and Bernard all 3. And Daddy. Daddy, I got your sausage pizza with pepperoni.
Oh, my God.
All right, so we've got some stories. But before I begin, I really would like to send a big congratulations to Desiree Linden. The 34-year-old American woman triumphantly won the Boston Marathon earlier today. For the first time, an American woman has won the marathon in the last 33 years. She cleared the 26-mile course in 2 hours, 39 minutes, and 53 seconds. I'm exhausted reading that.
And I don't even, she must have been exhausted too, because it was probably a combination of running and swimming. How today was, she should, I told you. She could have got there quicker if she called my new company, Knuber. You couldn't order an Uber in that weather, but if you ordered a Knuber, we could have got her to the finish line real quick.
Knuber?
Knuber. That's a business plan I'm working on.
Do you have a Knuber for snow?
Well, we're working on that. We're one project at a time.
TM.
When we had the last big rainstorm, a friend of mine who lives closer to the shore than I do, his neighborhood was flooded. And I'm like, well, you know, you're stuck in the house. You can't go out drinking because you can't walk. You can't call an Uber because your street's underwater. And I'm like, well, you could just call me and my associates and you can order a Knuber. We charge, as of now, 10 cents a stroke and we can get you to your destination. You can get there in floods. You can get there in monsoons, typhoons.
Can I ask, does the strokes have a happy ending?
Results may vary. Okay, we're still in the blueprint stage.
Mayberry.
I love it. TMCM. I love it. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right. So for my story this week, we have a story all the way from Trinidad. Basically, what ended up happening is Trinidad decriminalized homosexuality in a landmark court ruling. A judge ruled, according to this story by Dan Avery, that the country's buggery laws, Boogery? buggery laws were not reasonably justified in regards to adult consensual acts. The High Court of Trinidad and Tobago has thrown out the country's buggery laws.
Which is sodomy.
Uh-huh. Which punish same-sex relationships with up to 25 years in prison. The statute was rarely enforced, but had a chilling effect on the country's LGBT population. And I think that, you know, is hearing stories like this in light of all the things that are happening around the world and even in our own country really gives us hope that, you know, change is still coming. And it's amazing.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, it's time that some of these Caribbean islands, which are very well known for being extremely homophobic and very machista, jump on board and start, you know, coming into the 21st century.
Mm.
No pun intended. Or maybe pun intended. But, you know, when you think about, for example, Aruba? Was it Aruba or Bermuda?
Bermuda.
Bermuda was the one that actually reversed its marriage equality laws. So, you know.
Shame.
Exactly. Shame.
Cancel your trips.
So it's good to see, you know, that there are still island nations out there that are really taking a stance and pushing forward into the 21st century.
Yeah, and it was perfect when I saw that because I just wanted to add that Trinidad and Tobago gained their independence from the UK in 1976, and LGBT Boris Dietrich of The Advocate reported that LGBT activists from many Commonwealth nations will be speaking about the problems they face in their daily lives when the leaders of Commonwealth nations meet in London and Windsor beginning this week, actually starting today. The Commonwealth's 53 member states with a total of 2.4 billion people, with 60% at the age of 29 or younger, which when you have 60% of these residents are in the progressive age range. Mm-hmm. So these, you know, you can see some hope in the future, at least. These are countries that have historic ties to the United Kingdoms, and their leaders are going to come together to reaffirm their common values, address the shared goals and challenges they face. So the pressing issue with the Commonwealth, because the pressing issue here is that with the Commonwealth, 36 of these member states still criminalize same-sex acts between consenting adults. So even though you were saying that, you know, these are laws on the books and they're rarely upheld, they're still there on the books. The relics of colonialism, such as sodomy, buggery, or gross indecency laws, recently ones that annulled these laws were Belize, Seychelles, I don't know if that's saying it right, and Mozambique. They have decriminalized homosexual conduct, such as Trinidad has done. Was it last week, I believe, Trinidad dropped these laws?
Yeah. I ended up putting it in notes. I was like, you know, my God, this is something that's really good to mention because we've been having a lot of negativity in the news. And I think that, you know, finding something that's just uplifting and bringing us in the direction of where our community needs to be is something wonderful to talk about. So,
especially if you look at the fact that this is a third, these Commonwealth states compromise or compose a third of the world's population.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a large number of people that are still subjected to anti-LGBT laws, such as sodomy. So it's that's a huge chunk of the nation, of the globe, excuse me.
And it's time for some change. And we're seeing that in a lot of island nations. We talked about New Zealand not too long ago, pardoning, or not necessarily pardoning, but basically apologizing for criminalizing homosexual acts in the past. And we had a very heated discussion as to how we feel about them being
compensated
for that.
But wasn't it they were calling for the government to
compensate?
To compensate. Yeah, compensate. They didn't do it.
They've already called for it. They've already said, we're sorry. You know, this should have never happened.
On behalf of New Zealand, right?
Now they're looking for compensation for these people. And Nick really brought up amazing points as to why we as a group collectively feel that they should be compensated. Because you lose a lot. You know, there's a lot that you lose.
Yeah. No.
You know, I was listening back to that episode. And I was like, this bitch, she's on point. Let me just get her a fucking box and decorate it with a lot of soap bars and just say here.
I don't want soap bars. I want like bedazzles.
I thought you say bidets.
It'll be bedazzled soap bars.
Yeah, fine. As long as they smell nice.
Yeah. Like bath bomb stuff. When you put it in the water, it's like rainbows.
Give me bath salts. See what happens.
She'll blow up.
She's going to bite your face off. You think she's crazy now.
So we do have a guest. So that's all I have for this story, and I'm going to let one of you guys go ahead and touch on another story, because I'm sure that will probably take us to the break, and then when we come back, we have Davis Mallory. So, who wants to go first?
That's all Trish. I put my story in with yours.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm proud of
that.
You.
We combined that. That was a team effort.
Yes,
so,
queen.
So you guys were, this actually isn't in the notes, but you guys were talking about, you know, what's going on internationally, but I want to throw focus a little bit back to national stuff. So Mama Dragon.
Oh, Linda Stay.
A couple of days ago, she posted something that another mother dragon posted. This mother recently wants to make it clear that she hasn't left her faith or her belief in God, but her son came out to her. Her son came out to her by putting a pillow over his face and saying, "Why am I gay?" Because his church is so against him being gay, mm-hmm. that instead of just saying, "I'm gay," he's trying to find it in himself why that's the case. Why, if I'm a Mormon, am I actually gay? And I remember as a kid when I laid in bed, I was like, why me? Of all the men in the world, why me?
I did that too.
So I completely understand where this kid was coming from, but this woman, I'm going to say her name. Her name was Susie Ann Paul Augenstein, and she talked to her husband. Her husband then wrote Elder Holland, asking him if they could bring Michael, their son, into his office so they could fix him. And then it went further than that. It went up to a higher elder where then they all met. And through this process, the mother was just torn apart, seeing them try to change her son, who has been bullied in school, and just trying to come to terms with who he is as a person. And she said, you know, after these meetings, she was asking her husband, "Where is our angel? Why did the younger get an angel, but we can't get one for him? Haven't we prayed enough? Are we not as faithful? Is our son not as important to the Heavenly Father?" And through these questions, I believe she started to realize that they have done everything right. And this is a gift that they were given.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes on to, this post is extremely long, that's why I'm not reading it to you guys, but she goes on to talk more about her faith and Michael coming out and the process and trying to support him while trying to understand her faith. Eventually, she did, leave the church. This quote is just, it's beautiful to me. "I don't understand what you're going through." This is what she's asking, hoping that one day the church that she's a part of, that she's believed in her whole life, can say, "I don't understand what you're going through. Will you help me? Will you share with me in my struggle?" I'd love the church leaders to ask that question. I hope one day that I can tell my son, will you tell Michael for me that I love him? Like somebody in the church comes up to that mother and says, "Will you tell Michael that I love him? Will you tell Michael that he has a place here with us? Will you tell Michael for me that I miss him? And I look forward to the day when instead of asking me to tell him, they will tell him themselves, because he will feel welcomed and loved in a place to feel, he will feel welcome and loved enough to feel he has a place within the church." You know, I just, you know, we talk about all these things nationally and internationally, and it just, and there's pictures that are attached to this post, and this mother and these mother dragons are doing such amazing, beautiful work. And in this article, she also said, "I want to make it clear that I will always stand by my faith, but my faith and my church will never be come before my son."
And that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
And that's a beautiful work that these mothers are doing, and this group, you know, the Mother Dragons, and having Linda stay on the show really opened up our eyes to a lot of what's going on.
And that actually ties right into what you were doing for your birthday.
Exactly.
You posted a fundraiser for Yasu, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. So I ever since we had the coordinator or the executive director for Yasu on the show, I constantly think about what goes on through the minds of those youth that don't have a place to go.
Mm-hmm. And that can't don't have go. A mother dragon.
Yeah. And so I said to myself, you know, it's like I found myself contributing throughout the year, throughout 2017. I did several contributions to that organization and for my birthday. So if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, I encourage that you go to my page and find the post that I posted for my birthday. And if you can, $5. That's all you need.
Mm-hmm. And that goes to Youth Advocates of Southern Utah.
That is correct. That's all you need. And
because as we've talked about earlier, the
I said homelessness
rate is...
Yeah, it's insane. Not only homelessness, in Utah. But you know, when you think about the amount of LGBT youth that are committing suicide in Utah is mm-hmm. extremely high compared to the national rate. And it just really touched me in a way. And I found it very disturbing that we could really just disregard our youth in such a careless and really just unnatural way. Mm-hmm. You know, this is someone who just needs to live and needs to know that they're loved and that they have resources and that there are people out there that want to help them. So I ended up putting that up there. We've got several people who have contributed. I put a $600 goal on my post. And so I hope that several people, if you are, again, friends on my Facebook page, go on there, click on the link. Even a $5 donation mm-hmm. goes a long way. So,
and I just want to add one more thing about this woman's post. It was very thorough. Excuse me. It was very thorough and it was very good. But I think she hit some really amazing points. And we've talked about it on the show. I'm not very religious. I do believe in a higher power. But she said, I can love and accept my son and follow Christ at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the case.
You don't have to choose one or the other.
You don't have to choose just because your religion or the Mormon religion is so stuck in their practices. It's stuck in, cannot move beyond policies and teachings. And I'm hopeful that this cultural will change because these kids are dying and they have no place to go and mm-hmm. they need to be supported and spotlighting these people like Linda is doing is the best thing we can do. And I
absolutely
hope, and I this woman gets claps. I absolutely, yeah.
And you know what? It's women like her and mothers like Kim who take the initiative to learn about what their children are going to be exposed to and how they fit in their world.
Absolutely. And I even mm-hmm. have the email open here. You know, it continues to show, and I know Tom's going to be pushing us to break real soon. I just want to get out quick that, you know, Linda Stay, her story and her goals are continuing to be an inspiration to so many people, even opening up Mama Kim's most recent email to us, you know, thinking for getting back to her. She said, I too may just become another accidental activist. Yeah. And Linda Stay's words continue to be an inspiration.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's absolutely beautiful.
And, you know, as a message out there, I think that she said, this woman said, I'd love the church leader to ask me to come to their office and explain how our congregation can be supportive and loving. Because as a congregation, you're a community. Whether you're Mormon, Catholic, Jewish, as a group, you're strong and you are a community and you have always supported each other. And they need to get past these policies and everything that's been put in place and learn how to support one another because you can't fix what's not broken. We're not broken. We're perfect and we're beautiful.
And you need to see that. And the sooner you see that, the sooner you'll be able to love us and appreciate us and absolutely just revel in our aura and our energy and our happiness and in our ability to just create beautiful things mm-hmm. out of nothing.
And you know what? Also, before we go on break too, it's every time I hear a story like this, I immediately think of that kid. The kid that's going through this, the kid that's struggling so much and hurting so much on the inside. And it makes me super emotional because I know that feeling. I know that feeling so viscerally. It's like it lives with me and it will live with me for the rest of my life. And I hate to think that there's a child out there that feels the way I once felt. And I just want to hold them. And this mother, these pictures of her holding her son, it just makes me so proud of her being able to say no to the Mormon church because this son, my kid, is perfect and I love him. It just, it's, yeah.
It's a beautiful story. And thank you for sharing it. But on that note, we definitely need to get to break because we do have Davis Mallory joining us on the second half of the break. That'll give Trish enough time to be able to
powder her face.
Get ready and do all that good stuff. And then we'll come back and we'll have the artist. So here's some music. We'll be right back.
Gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the lonely, but it's too hard to show it. Too hard to show it. Dansez avec moi, dansez avec moi, dansez avec moi. Do I fall? I'm
All right, welcome back from the break. That last song that you just heard was Dance With Me by Davis Mallory, the artist joining us right now. Welcome back to the show, Davis.
What's up? Hey, how are you? Good to see you again.
Hey, it's good to see you as well. We're doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm in Nashville. That was really fun to listen to the song, so thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for allowing us to use your music to do all that good stuff, and I did not even unmute my co-host.
Can we join now? Is it okay if we join now?
Absolutely.
Hi, Davis.
Hi, Davis.
How are you?
I was going to say, he was rocking. She is nasty, and he was rocking out in that awesome jacket the whole time. I was trying to say.
Absolutely.
So, like my jacket?
We do. It's amazing.
Okay, good.
You're in Nashville, though. Why do you need a jacket?
I know, right?
It's 30 degrees today.
It's colder in Nashville than it is here.
Fahrenheit?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I woke up this morning. I looked at the weather app. I closed it and reopened it because I thought it was lying to me, but it was 30.
It's like, go home, weather app, you're drunk.
No, honestly, this global warming thing, that isn't a thing.
Fake news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's happening.
I thought that too today, to be honest. I was like, fake news. There's no global warming. What is going on?
It's cold as shit out here.
So cold. And y'all are in Philadelphia, New York?
Almost.
Connecticut.
Okay, that's right.
It's all the same.
You're getting there.
We're about 2 hours north of Philly.
Oh, okay. That's right.
So you're back on the show. The last time that you were on the show, you had joined us to talk about your song that you released at the time, which was Loud. And now you just released another collaboration with, let me make sure that I'm saying this correctly, right? Because the DJ, he's a French DJ.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to screw it up, but I don't care. I'm going to try it anyway. But his name is Loic Panillo. Did I say that right?
I think it's Loic.
Loic? Okay, well, we'll go with Loic. Fabulous. And so,
wait, hold on. You think?
Oh, you're in trouble now.
Loic. Didn't you collaborate on the song with him?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
But I've been saying Loic.
And okay. He still thinks his name is Davi. So,
I'll tell you a little secret. I had no idea how to pronounce the name. So, of course, I go on Google. I go on all of his stuff, and I'm looking for interviews. And then I find this language thing. It says, "How do you say certain names?" And of course, you know, when I heard it back, it said Loic. So I'm like, all right, I'll go with that.
I think it's
Loic. I just got confirmation from one of my French friends that it is Loic.
Okay, so it is Loic. All right.
Yeah.
Loic it is. Loic wins. So anyway, so you collaborated with him and you're releasing Dance With Me. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration for the song.
Yeah, so I met Loic last fall when I was going to Amsterdam Dance Event, and he sent me the instrumental. I wrote it mostly by myself and then found I was struggling to finish it. So I brought in my roommate, who's a songwriter, and one of my close girlfriends, who's a songwriter, and they helped me finish it. My roommate suggested putting French into the song, which I'd never thought about doing. Mm-hmm. And because it's a French DJ, I sang Danse Avec Moi. And then I was struggling with the rap part, which is now like the bridge, and finished that with my friends. But it's basically it's a happy feel good song, which I like to make my music happy feel good. And it's not about a certain person, but admittedly, I wrote it at a time in my life when I was still getting over a couple guys. And that's why the first lines say, like, my head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. And sometimes it's basically just about me falling in love really easily and realizing that I need to slow down and keep my mind calm and collected and just have fun, I guess.
I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit. I'm going to take a little bit of Nick's quotes. Pump the brakes. A couple of guys. You macking like that?
Well, I was dating for 3 years that we broke up. And then right after him, I went on a Tinder date with a really cute guy from Arizona who was 24 and I'm 34. So the age difference was clearly not in our favor. He was an out-of-towner, and Nashville is just a heavy tourist town. And so he was just an out-of-towner. And I really liked him. And I stayed hung up on him for the past year. I see you sipping your tea.
It's tea.
We'll stick to tea.
I stayed hung up on him for a year. I still sometimes check his Instagram. Like, it's one of those crushes that just didn't stop. And I tried to get over him and had a really hard time for the rest of the year. And then I met someone else soon after, who lived in Canada, who was really cute, but
yes,
not dateable, really. And that didn't go anywhere. And so I feel like I said a couple guys, it was really just those two guys.
Gotcha.
But yeah,
I wasn't trying to make you out like, you know.
I feel like my life is kind of paralleling right now. Like, really? Me and Davis are on the same like wavelength.
Big time.
So it's funny because I was dating two guys. I was dating a guy for 2 years. For 2 years. We broke up. And then I met somebody else on Tinder. He was great. Okay. Mm-hmm. But great. And that ended. And then I met somebody, not on any dating apps or anything like that. And I fell so hard and so fast. And it was like, I'm still screwed up by it. Yeah. So
the only difference is Davis is talented and famous.
And I'm not.
Sorry, Trish.
No, we love you, Trish. You know, you're famous.
So Davis, you've been traveling. Traveling the world. You were away. You were in Europe for a while. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, an Instagram fan messaged me and was asking me if I was coming to Amsterdam Dance Event. I had never heard of it. I Googled it, realized it was a really big event, 20 years running, and all the big DJs go there. And for my career, last year I had 2 songs released with DJs, and I was trying really hard for the last year to get bigger cuts with bigger DJs. And so I thought, what better way to do that but to just be on the ground in Amsterdam shaking hands with them? And I bought passes. It was like $400 passes, but it gave me access to 4,000 people that were attending. And for the months leading into going, I just emailed everybody and said, I'm coming to Amsterdam. And it created a lot of new collaborations by being there. And my songs are starting to come out now from going there. I booked a 1-month trip and I ended up staying for 2 months. One of the reasons is I signed sort of a publishing deal with an Amsterdam based company called Vocal Kitchen that pairs singers with DJs. And they started sending me out on co-writes with some of their other signed writers. And they were like, why are you going back to Nashville? We could just keep you busy here. And if it wasn't for the fact that it was Christmas, I would have probably still stayed. But it was a great experience and I'm itching to go back. So.
That's amazing. So you ended up doing a couple of works while you were there that you released, correct?
So far, yeah. I wrote 25 songs while I was there.
Oh, my God. In 2 months?
Yeah. I mean, I went to Sweden, Denmark, London, and I stayed in Amsterdam and in Belgium. And almost every single day I was writing a song. By the end of the 2 months, I was really tired of writing songs. And so I have a bunch of them that are supposed to come out with different DJs. And then since I've been home in Nashville, I've been writing more. Sometimes I'll write about 4 to 6 a week. So we got more coming out with DJs since. So,
yeah, I've seen you. You've got a lot of stuff posted on iTunes, a lot of stuff on Spotify. Obviously, Dance With Me is available on both streaming software platforms. And so when are you performing next? When can we hear this Dance With Me live?
I'm going to be performing at Nashville's Gay Pride on June 24th.
Yes!
Rainbow Nash, which I'm excited about. I just performed last week in Nashville. And between now and then, I don't have any other booked dates. Although I know myself, I'll probably put a few in between now and then. So I don't know. There's nothing on my schedule, but I'm really just trying to get like more out of town, out of Nashville performances, because it's great to perform in Nashville, but this is such a saturated city with people doing the same thing. And like, I'm looking to get out on the road. So,
which makes sense. It's always a lot of fun when you can go out to different cities and experience different venues and bring your music to them.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask a question. So the version of Dance With Me that we've got, it's about 2.5 minutes long, maybe a little longer. Is there an extended version of that? Are there more lyrics or to the song? Because you were mentioning there was a rap in there somewhere.
For me, the bridge that's like, you are the one I want to be with. Yeah, gotcha. Mine. That's like kind of my rap. But no, that's it. That's the long version.
So are we coming out with like a club, like dub version where make it like really anthem-y and like.
I can propose it.
Because I could tell you one thing. When you released
Loud. We have to play this at the bar.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So I want like a really long version of it because it's really catchy and it's like you start dancing and it's like, and then 2.5 minutes later, I'm just like.
Just put it on repeat, honey.
True. True.
So no, anyway.
But your loud remix was amazing, just to let you know.
Thank you. Yeah, I had that one custom made because I was really wanting something that sounded like I Took a Pill in Ibiza, the remix by Mike Posner. So I just add, that was my reference track for that.
This one takes pills in Ibiza all the time.
She's never been, but
I don't have to go to Ibiza to take a pill, but that's okay. Anyway,
something cool about Dance With Me, just to brag about it, because I just found out this week, the music video is going to be included in Out Webfest 2018.
Oh, that's awesome.
In the U.S. And then Out TV in the Netherlands has been airing it. And in France, there's a TV station that's airing it too. So it's getting, the music video is getting a lot of play, which I think is pretty cool.
I think we talked about this the last time we chatted, but do you feel like your audience is mainly the LGBTQ audience, or do you think it's broader than that?
I feel like it's a mix. I get messages a lot on Instagram from females from around the world who don't realize I'm gay. So I would say it's a mix.
Well, we can certainly see why you're a very, very handsome man, so I can understand why anyone would reach out. He's actually very hot, so shut up.
Anyway, so obviously you've been on our show a couple of times. Well, this is the second time. But what about personally? Do you have any updates for our listeners? Are you dating anybody? What's going on in your life?
I have met like two guys in the last 6 months that like I started to date, but like nothing really amounted. The one of them was an Amsterdam-based guy, and then he broke things off with me when I got back to Nashville. And then in the last like 2 or 3 weeks, I met a guy who was a lot like me. He's a singer, actor, very talented. And we've been spending a lot of time together lately. So it's really new. So I almost don't want to jinx it, you know? So we'll see what happens.
Don't. Just, you know, enjoy yourself. Enjoy the company. You know, go out on a lot of dates and do a lot of fun stuff. So it's good.
Basically, I'm hearing I'm shit out of luck.
Exactly. Pretty much. I'm telling you, this here is a lot of work. If you find one in Nashville like this one, run. Just telling you.
I'll go looking.
So you did Dance With Me. Are you doing anything else? Anything coming up?
So on an exciting note, I have a song come out last week with, it's a female duet. I have, the artist's name is Luma. She's actually one of the people that wrote on Dance With Me. And we have like 10 songs we've written together where we duet them, and one of them is already out. It's called Let Me Go in Peace. It debuted at number 2 on iTunes alternative charts, which was pretty crazy, in India. And Sunburn, which is a really big music festival, it's like the Coachella of India, they tweeted about it, which was also exciting. And we made the music video last night, so we're going to put it out in the next week. But just today, I was with her, and we recorded like 3 songs together today that we have plans to come out in the near future. So we thought about calling ourselves Leo and the Lamb, or Lion and the Lamb, and we may do that at some point in time, but right now it's just Davis Mallory and Luma. So kind of trying to figure out that brand identity.
No, but it works. I like both names, you know, how they come together, you know, but interestingly enough, I'd like to see what that video is going to look like. And when you release it, let us know, because we can throw it on the website.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. Hopefully it'll be done by the end of the week. We just filmed it last night.
It's amazing how they.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you keep talking.
No, it's just amazing how, you know, they're like, yeah, I just filmed it last night. How long did it take to film the whole video?
Well, I had chosen my director already, and he had a photo shoot in his house scheduled with this girl that he was really trying to get it put into editorial magazines. And I saw on Instagram that he had set up this beautiful space, and I just texted him, I'm like, we're coming over tonight, and we're going to use that space while it's still set up to film the music video in front of. So we spent about 3 to 4 hours just doing different takes and different, like, there's an angle where I'm sitting down and she's standing behind me, and, you know, vice versa, things like that. He had an idea to maybe film an extra scene of us walking around outside, but we'll decide once this edit is done.
That's awesome. Can I ask what the song's about?
Yeah, so we wrote it last September also. It was over an instrumental provided by an Indian DJ. Luma, her real name is Brittany, came up with this concept called Let Me Go in Peace that she'd been wanting to write a song about. So that was the idea. And then together we just wrote this song that's basically about, like, the first line says, since the beginning, you were the ending that I never saw coming. Knew it was something we had at all. It's basically about being in a relationship that you didn't expect to end and hoping that when it ends, you can go in peace, not wanting to have those relationships where people are, you know, making you linger and hurt and be in painful experiences. And for her and for me, we were both going through breakups and we're hoping that we could kind of like write a song for people that are going through breakups that want to have it end in peace. Basically,
that's amazing.
That is really nice.
It is. It's very touching. It's very like, I'm going to start crying. I'm going to be hurt. Because, you know, it's like when you think about, right, you think about being with someone for the rest of your life. And then all of a sudden you have to think about that moment and where that someone may never be there afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you say to yourself, am I going to be okay once that happens? And I think that a lot of us at some point in time think about when we go, what will happen, who we leave behind, mm-hmm. and all those things, and how we internalize that, because nobody ever wants to talk about when someone goes, right?
Yeah.
But when you put it in music and you add feeling and inflection and vocals and people to it, it just makes it that much more like... really, it's like when you hear a song, you
music makes you feel things. Yeah,
of course it does, but it also gives you visuals. You're right, because you start thinking in a visual sense rather than just in audio,
and you relate it to yourself.
Yeah, of course.
And if you're talking about death, music makes it a lot less scary.
And I think, you know, the concept of that song is so important, because a lot of people don't realize that when you break up with somebody, whether you're with them for 2 months, 5 months, 6 years. You go through the grieving process. It's like you've lost somebody, and people don't acknowledge that and acknowledge all of those steps. And so that song, this song that's coming out is probably it's speaking to something that needs to be spoke about, I think personally.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I think you're going to end up in a gutter somewhere, but you know.
Well, we don't know how that's going to happen.
Yeah, they're nasty here. Yeah. They're nasty.
We go back and forth all the time. So since the last time you were on the show, you ended up, as we said before, you released Loud. You came on the show. What did you think about that episode?
I enjoyed it. It was my first time doing something even like that before. I think I remember when I did it, I was actually in Nashville traffic talking to you guys in my car.
We're a decent way to pass through traffic. I'll give you that at the least.
Yeah, you get a good laugh, a good cry, a good, you know, we poke at all of the emotions. So, you know, if a songwriter were to listen to our show, I'm sure they can come out, like, really extrapolate a lot of material to write and just about our craziness.
We might on the show. Make you want to jump out into said traffic, but, you know,
sometimes
it can get you through it.
Yeah.
So that being said, so you're about to release... Dance With Me is coming out. You also have this other project that's about to come out. And are you working on anything else? Are you working on a full album?
Well, that's one thing I have been trying to decide what to do, because one of the things Vocal Kitchen did for me is they put me on a writing assignment in Sweden when I was there. And I wrote a song called The Sun and the Moon. And it is, to me, like my special baby this year. Of all my music, it's like the thing I want to really do right. So I came back, I've recorded the vocals about 7 times since I've been back. Even today, I was just working on it. And once the audio is perfect, then I'm going to make a music video. And I've already scheduled for May 6th to film a video with the same guy that did Dance With Me. And we're filming it at the Nashville Film Institute, which is a school here in Nashville. And then that will be my really big solo push. There's no DJs involved with that. It's just a Davis Mallory record. And it kind of has, like, to me, when I wrote it, the guy told me that it reminded him of Michael Jackson and Prince specifically. And I have been listening to a lot of Prince before. And to me, it also kind of reminds me of Stevie Wonder's early music, because it has like a big bass line and it's kind of funk. It's a little different than my other releases. But if it does well, the goal would be to have backup songs ready to release that sound like that. So I've already written a second song. And I have actually been writing most of my songs this year with the goal in mind to all put together an album with them sounding like The Sun and Moon sounds like. So I would say that, yes, an album will be coming. And The Sun and Moon is the first single. Just haven't really figured out a date or anything like that. Just those two pieces so far.
So it sounds like you're a very, very busy man. And when that album comes out, you're going to have to let us know, and we'll have you come back, and we'll literally dissect it from soup to nuts.
Soup to nuts.
Literally. Yeah. And, you know, it's always fun. It's always fun having people come back on the show, because it's always great to see how they progress and all the work that, you know, comes out from the time that you came on the show initially, which was probably about a year. Almost a year ago. And now you're coming back, and you can see the music as it progresses and as it changes, and what moves you, which is great. It's always great to see some sort of, you know, change in artists. And I think change is amazing.
Yeah.
Right. And so anytime that you want to come on the show, reach out to us like you did before, and let us know. I think that it's amazing what you're doing.
Music is always on point.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
So with that being said, I want to thank you for, first of all, allowing us to sit with you and take the time to have a conversation with us about your music and your art and your talent. We absolutely love what you're doing. Keep doing it. And let us know. Reach out to us. Let us know when you've got something else coming up. In the meantime, what we're going to do is we're going to put all of the links to Dance With Me so that people could have access to it. And of course, we'll put a link to your Facebook, your professional Facebook page, so that they can access and gain information for you as the artist if they need, if they
want to.
Want to. Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you want to plug yourself at all?
I mean, check me out on social media and
I don't know. What are your handles?
It's just Davis Mallory across the board.
There you go.
Simple.
All right. Well, Davis, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode.
Thank you guys so much for having me on here today. Gay Talk 2.0.
And good, good luck with your new projects coming out. And again, great song with Dance With Me. We're going to play it on our way out of the show today.
Uh-huh. Sweet.
All right. Well, you have yourself a great time.
Say goodbye to my Instagram friends.
Bye, Instagram friends. We're going to go back to drinking our tea now.
The tea is served.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yep.
Bye, Davis.
All right, guys. That was the incredible Davis Mallory. We've had him before on the show. He's just amazing. Overall, great guy. Very handsome. Super handsome. And all I can say is that when I hear some of the music that he puts out, it's just very lively. Like when we heard Loud, when we heard Dance With Me, I'm curious to see what this next single is going to sound like, because I think it's going to be amazing.
Sun and Moon, yeah.
Yeah, Sun and Moon. It sounds very exotic. You know? What do you think?
I don't know. It just sounds like... Well, we didn't ask, but when I think of Sun and Moon, I think of Night and Day, and I think of, you know...
I was like, I wouldn't use...
Oh, that's you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's you every day.
I was like, exotic. It seems more astronomical to me.
Explain.
Well, the Amazon is exotic to me. The sun and moon are space.
I'm going to throw you in the Amazon River.
It seems to me, it sounds
hopefully the piranhas will do something.
It sounds to me more like something like, you know, you feel a certain way about something, and or there's a certain something going on in your life, and on a dime that can change.
Mm-hmm.
People in your life can change on a dime. They can, you know, things just happen. So sun and moon represent maybe light and not, you know, day and night, and what can happen within just short amount of time.
Or at all parts of the day, there can be something that's always pulling you forward. You know, the sun's always giving you light and giving you life. And at night, you know, it's dark, but the moon's always going to lead you somewhere.
For a brief moment, when we went out earlier today, the sun was out. It was literally giving me life. I can understand that, you know, that statement. Like, literally, we felt it tonight. Mm-hmm. And then Nick, of course, when he was about to go out early, like later on, he's like, the sun is gone. Oh, this is going to be bad. Where's my jacket? I need my jacket. All right. So that was, again, as we said, Davis Mallory. You can check him out, Davis Mallory, on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And yeah, definitely check out his music. Like we said before, his Dance With Me is available on iTunes. It's also available on Spotify and most other streaming services available out there. So thanks to Davis for joining us. And we've got a couple of more things that maybe we can talk about before we wrap up the show. So guys, I'm going to let you guys take it away. So, Chris, do you want to go?
Sure. We'll do a local, not a local story, but a national story. Right. We're going to be going down to Texas. A ruling that came out of the Fifth Circuit for federal courts. Trudy Ring of The Advocate reported the following. You can go on The Advocate and get the full article. That a federal judge in Texas has added to the growing number of rulings asserting the existing civil rights laws banning anti-LGBT discrimination. So Judge Lee Rosenthal's ruling, which was issued last week, doesn't automatically make any changes to the law as of now, but it does stand to affect how other courts can possibly interpret it. And some case involving the law may eventually make its way to the highest court, the U.S. Supreme Court, which could change the law across the land, which is hopeful, especially when it comes to anti-LGBT discrimination laws, religious freedom laws. So, you know, we've seen these things coming, obviously, since, you know, the past 100 years a lot, but since 2015, you know, with the groundbreaking marriage equality ruling, so many states, including Mike Pence's Indiana, putting up these religious freedom laws in different states, and with North Carolina's HB2 law and Alaska trying to do an equivalent of the HB2 law, which was also knocked down. So Rosenthal of the U.S. District Court of the Southern District of Texas ruled in a lawsuit brought by Nicole Whitmer, an engineer who claimed that energy company Phillips 66 had rejected her for a job because she's transgender. This was reported by the Dallas Morning News. Rosenthal found that Whitmer hadn't proved the company had discriminated, but if it had, she would have had a case under Title 12 of the U.S. Civil Rights Act of 1964. The law in which banned sex discrimination also bans discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, according to Judge Rosenthal. So that is huge. Though this did not make any changes to the law, effectively at that time, she was saying that if it was proven that she did not get this job because she was transgender, that they were going against the Title 12 U.S. Civil Rights Act of 1964, putting it in perspective that sex discrimination is also banned under the Civil Rights Act, but that also covers sexual orientation and gender identity discrimination, which is huge and it's can amazing. Lead to the U.S. civil court with more cases such as these.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing
and
thing.
And this happened in Texas.
Yep. Out of all places, the mm-hmm. Lone Star State.
That's crazy.
Yeah. States have been trying to secede from the union for like ever.
They're actually, I think, the only state that actually can, because they have their own military, right?
No,
it's against a law for anyone to secede from the United States.
Yeah,
for any states to secede,
you literally would have to like go through high hell and water. Like,
no, it's against the it's illegal to secede from the United States.
America. Well, you have to have.
What if Donald Trump's the president? Can we all just leave?
We tried that. We even like implored our West Coasters, you know, California, Oregon, Washington, to join Canada, and then we would move there and do gay talk from there. But don't leave Connecticut and Vermont and, you know, some of these other states that are in the East Coast as well. Why don't we just take middle America and just say, here, you can have it. Goodbye. Seriously. So because we are a roller coaster of emotions throughout most of the shows that we do, we go up, down, cry, laugh, cry again, and then kill each other. I'm going to let Nick talk about something that's completely like left field and happy and go lucky and so gay. Nick, go for it.
But I didn't want to talk about that yet.
No?
No, so I wanted to talk about one more thing and then end it on the happy note.
Okay, well, go for it.
So I'm going to slam a company today.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Who are we slamming?
1000flags.co.uk. That's we are slamming them because they are selling straight pride badges on Amazon. So Amazon has accepted these flags that this company has made to sell them. And we've talked on the show several times why straight pride doesn't necessarily or shouldn't necessarily be a thing. Because what pride stands for us, what pride means for us is something that heterosexuals never necessarily had to go through. We lost lives. We marched. We were jailed. We have pride because we fought to be open and out in who we are. The fact that Amazon has accepted to sell this online is a disgrace. And honestly, it's a slap in the face of every single LGBTQ member.
But can I ask, who's the company that made the flags?
1000flags.co.uk.
So why? So we need to slam them because,
because Amazon's selling it. But we need to slam both.
But okay, but Amazon sells, for example, Confederate flags. They sell a lot of things. And my thing is, it's like they're a company. That's what they do. They sell stuff.
It's a valid point.
And they have things available for everyone. I can go on Amazon and find something for gay. Someone can go on Amazon and find something for, you know, Black Pride. Or someone can go on Amazon and find something completely racist. Or
I'm just going to bring this to a slowdown real quick. Nick, when did you read this article?
Today.
Okay, because on April 13th, reported, Amazon has removed straight heterosexual...
Oh, because this article I'm reading is April 12th.
Yes, so Amazon removed it the following day. I was looking for it, so I didn't just bring it up. They are not for sale on Amazon. They
so
banned
Amazon,
the product.
Proud of you.
So, yes, so I was like, especially as Tommy made a good point, let's not shame Amazon, because they did remove it. And but it is banned.
Back to 1000flags.co.uk.
There you go.
Fuck off.
There you go. Yes.
No, but you know, it's like we hate is a strong word. We seriously dislike any company that tries to oppress another small group that does absolutely nothing but provide love and acceptance and happiness to the world, right? But it's like when you think about some of these mega companies, we need to talk about that. It's like, are they really wrong? Obviously, they can make that decision for themselves, but should we? And I struggle with this because I've boycotted certain companies, like, for example, Hobby Lobby, but because we know what they stand for. They're an American company that really are very, very bigoted towards the LGBT community.
Women's rights.
Chick-fil-A, women's rights. Chick-fil-A is another one. But these are companies that purposely do this. You know, it's like, do you think Amazon really understood what was happening?
Here's the thing, right? So maybe not. Maybe they didn't understand why that symbol is so offensive.
And the reason why I asked that question is because one needs to watch how one company responds in the wake of outcry to understand whether or not they really understood what this would cause.
Well, right. they removed it. Which is great, but I don't know if they conceptually, whoever made the final decision, made the decision whether it was for publicity or whatnot. But why was it so offensive? Do they understand that? And I think that is the point of bringing this up. Why is a heterosexual pride flag so offensive to the LGBTQ community? Because we fought. We are fighting.
And straight people don't need to do that.
We are oppressed. And there are so many communities that are oppressed. And if they want to have pride flags, by all means, have pride flags. But communities in which aren't oppressed and have always been boosted do not need a pride flag. And what it is a slap in the face. And that's inappropriate and horrible.
Absolutely.
To an entire community.
It's just, whoa, I always knock my chair down a little bit. It's just like when a coworker came in to the restaurant I work and he had that shirt that said LGBT and it stood for Liberty Guns. B, I forget what B was, but it was Liberty Guns
Beer.
It was beer. Liberty Guns, Beer, and Trump. Ugh. And I was like, the fuck he's wearing in here? Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I understand. It's an insult to an entire community.
You know, and I don't think, you know, if you are a straight person and you want to have pride in being straight, by all means, have pride in being straight. That does not mean you have the right to.
But you know what made it really, really, what made it worse is that they took a symbol, right? Our symbol. A rainbow, and changed the colors and made them very subdued and crazy and matte and
it looked like an eyeshadow
beige.
I was gonna say, yeah. There's a tweet that here that says the only way I'd buy this straight pride flag is if it were an eyeshadow palette.
Exactly. So my thing was, it's like The worst part about that is that they took something that meant so much to us and tried to defame and change it.
Delegitimize and something that stood for so many people's struggles.
And take it for themselves and then pop new colors on it and say, oh, this is going to be our, you know, pride flag.
And with that, they
doesn't
have,
need to be.
They have every right to do that, but they'll be damn sure that they're going to be met with opposition. And
like right here.
Exactly. And Amazon knew that from if Nick mentioned that it was April 12th when he saw that Amazon was taking on this product, the very next day,
they took it down.
It was banned.
But that's how you know. That's how you can gauge where a company stands. Because again, sometimes they just, hey, listen, I want to sell a product. I can go on Amazon right now and sell this water bottle full of sand.
I you're right. There's also I need to, like, so, like, we had Rob Sanders on the show for the Pride, the story of Harvey Milk and the Rainbow Flag.
And I missed that episode. So Rob Sanders, I'm sorry,
but it's a children's book. Mm-hmm. But I think so. Gilbert Baker decided to, you know, they needed a symbol. They needed something. He decided it was a flag. He made a rainbow flag. And so this book was dedicated to him. And I think what makes me so agitated about it is when I see a rainbow flag at an establishment, I know that I'm welcome and I feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that eyeshadow palette do for the straight community other than degrade something that was built up during the AIDS crisis, that was built up during a huge national battle between an entire community and their country.
Mm-hmm.
It just degrades everything that we worked for as a community.
It does.
And that flag represents more to us and this community than any person could ever know. And so, that being said, there doesn't need to be a heterosexual pride because you have pride every fucking day. Meanwhile, we have kids in Utah crying with a pillow over their head saying, why am I gay?
Mm-hmm.
And having to get fixed or having to go speak to people to get fixed or getting kicked out of their homes or committing suicide. Or that flag represents way more than any person could ever know if they weren't a part of our community.
Absolutely. Agreed. 100%.
Sorry.
That's okay, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want to send us out on a good note, on a happy note?
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
I just, you know, we know how much you love animals. And we know.
Actually, I don't really like animals.
She was bitching that there were like ducks in her bathroom the other day.
They were cute. I saw them bathing on Facebook. I was like, oh, Nick is having a field day right now.
Alas, there are more gay animals.
As always.
So a baby vulture chick was raised by two gay vulture fathers and has been released into the wild. The Amsterdam Royal Zoo has had a pair of homosexual vultures in captivity for quite some time. We've had them for some years. They've always built a nest together, bonded, and mated together. A baby vulture chick raised by...
But before you keep reading,
yeah.
I'm very curious, though. So, what zoo is this?
The Artis Amsterdam Royal Zoo.
So, to the Artis Amsterdam Royal Zoo. When you say they mate together, do you like they mate with like the female vultures together? Like they go on a tag team mission or
no, I
do
think
they mate with each other?
They mate with each other.
But how can they reproduce?
They can't reproduce, Tommy.
But they can still get it in.
Oh. Hello?
Oh, Chris, you are an expert on that. Hi, Bobby.
I think what's really awesome about the story, though, is that this... baby was one of the first vultures to be released, raised in this blah 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 in this zoo in captivity, but released and raised in I think like 12 years, and they were raised by a gay couple.
That's amazing.
The one chick was met with another vulture chick. That sounds so weird.
It does. It sounds like you're saying so some weird. Ugly bitch.
Yeah, I know.
She's one vulture chick.
I can't.
After there were actually two released, but one was released by a gay couple. So the baby chick in the zoo's is the zoo's first successful hatching in half a decade.
That's a long time.
Half a decade.
That's 5 years.
By a gay couple. So clearly they wanted a baby.
That's awesome.
I know.
It's always cute because, you know, we've talked about gay penguins, gay dolphins, now gay vultures. What else did we have? We had the
flamingos.
The flamingos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had penguins.
Gay trishes.
Yeah.
We have a couple of those running around this house.
I think the reason I get so obsessed with these animal stories is because it's like when you see things that are in nature naturally, it makes you think.
We are who we are.
And it's natural.
We are who we are.
Granted, we still set Trish traps around the house.
We do. We do. We got to capture her sometimes and tie her down and make sure that she doesn't like burn the house down. But, you know,
guys, remember a couple episodes ago when we were supposed to burn Trish and then that never really happened? Yeah. But ever since then, it's been let's burn Trish every single show, including Dr. G.
Exactly. You know, I said I can't be mean to you, but I lied. I like to space it out and have it come by surprise. I like it to be organic, sporadic, spontaneous.
You're an asshole. Anyway.
That sounds like it's going to burn or something. But anyway, sounds like a disease. All right. So we've got a couple of more things that we need to cover. Obviously, our gay talk term, which I don't see in the
notes. Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Get that book, girl. So while she's looking, I'm going to throw it over to Chris because Chris is going to tell us what our This Day in Gay History is.
Which works out perfectly because this isn't like the happiest one. So I was going to ask to go first anyway.
Okay.
So on this day in gay.
Pick a happy one.
Yeah, pick a happy one. No dead people, no racisms, none of that stuff. So on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really. Nailed it.
So on this day in gay history, April 16th, 1997, in Pennsylvania. I'm saying this way too excited and happy because it's not a very happy story. But a woman.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yes, indeed. A woman sued Philadelphia Cemetery for refusal to write life partner on gravestone. Sherry Barron sues Har Yeruda, I don't know what that is, cemetery for breach of contract and its failure to write the requested epitaph on the headstone of her partner, Cynthia Friedman. It remains blank to this day, unfortunately. And Barron noted, quote, "I will never recover from the emotional and spiritual agony of the unveiling of Cynthia's unmarked grave."
That's absolutely destroyingly, like, it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so, but even now with marriage equality on the books, they can't go back and redo it?
At this point, it would have to be, I'm sure, under some kind of religious freedom because of Hard Jehuda Cemetery probably exercised their religious freedoms that they don't support these same-sex partnerships, and that's why they didn't do it. But the most messed up part here is that it was a breach of contract, that this was her epitaph that she wanted on there, and
so, I mean, so basically because they breached their contract, she should be able to exhume those remains and put her in a cemetery worthy of her remains and worthy of the love that these two people shared.
Absolutely.
That's incredible. I mean, incredible in the sense that it's just devastating.
But maybe she was so aligned with her beliefs that she wanted her to be laid to rest here.
Yeah.
And then they didn't give up, you know, give their part to put her final wishes on her headstone.
Well, I think that, you know, Ms. Barron now has, well, this was obviously it occurred in 1997. But
which really wasn't that long ago.
Really wasn't.
No, I mean, when you think about it, it was 20 years ago.
21 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, but Ms. Barron has now the opportunity, because of the current laws that have been on the books for 3 years, to make a decision as to whether or not she really wants to honor her loved, her lost lover and say, this was my partner.
Girl, get a Sharpie. Go out there and make your statement.
What? Sharpie, I'll be out there with a chisel.
I was going to say, chiseling that in.
Nobody's going to be able to power wash that motherfucker out. Mm. Trust me.
Heard.
I don't chisel, but I'll hire somebody.
But that's fine. I'm like, bitch.
Actually, you know, if it was me, I'd be like, oh, hell no. I'd be ripping the gravestone out the ground. I go crazy.
No, I'll watch the gate. You go ahead and start chiseling, girl. Do it.
And you don't chisel? How the fuck do you get, who gets that Bondo off your face at the end of the night then?
Ooh. Clinique.
All right. So, Christopher, thank you for that wonderful, factual in this day in gay history.
Glad to bring it to you every week.
And now, coming to you all the way from the Gay Talk studios. Well, excuse me. She hates us.
This week's Gay Talk term is brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Tom and Chris are assholes. So this week's Gay Talk term is haul out a personality. This comes from the late 60s.
That sounds personal.
It's to unzip the fly and remove the cock for sex. That man was so hung, it took me 10 minutes to haul out his personality.
Yes! Oh, that's you every time.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's going...
I want to read that again. That was so funny.
Okay, do it again.
She's back.
That man was so hung, it took me 10 minutes to haul out his personality. We've all been there, though, where you know, you unzip and you're like, oh my God.
Is this still
where does it start
there?
And where does it end?
Bobby! Bobby! Sorry, not that Bobby. I was talking Bobby and Whitney. Bobby!
Really? That's not where I was thinking about. Okay.
Oh, no. I'm just saying.
All right.
Okay, so for advice for everybody, if that ever happens, unbutton the pants and just drop them.
No, if that ever happens, bitch, call me. Call me, step aside, watch the master work. Yeah. There's a reason why I got this amazing. Yeah.
Now all I'm picturing is like, you know what? Like when that little switch breaks off the vacuum to like suck up the cord for it, and you got to like get up in there to find the button to suck it back in. That's all I was thinking about the whole time.
Oh God, I'm gonna show you a picture and see. Come on. Unlock.
It better not be an actual nudity. Nudity.
It is
a nudity.
It is
English
a
is hard.
A nudity. So
it is a nudity.
English so, is difficulty.
What was that? What was that word again?
Haul out a personality.
That's
a
try hauling that words. Shit out.
That can't be real.
I don't want to see this.
That yes, can't you do. Be real.
That's. I would not want to have that.
I would not want to be anywhere near that because I would never have an asshole ever, ever again.
That's disgusting.
Dr. Goldstein, I'd be coming to see you.
We are not posting that photo on our website, Instagram, or anything.
No, you can't. You can't. So,
if you
anyway.
Want to picture it, it looked like the Goodyear blimp deflated. Still right. Held its shape, but.
Let's bring this home, boys. All right. So listen, guys, if you love our show, you can help us in one of three ways: to let others know about the show and to ensure that it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. The first thing you can do is subscribe to the show. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or computer or anything like that, right? As soon as it's published. Anyway, you can rate and review our show. You can do so on iTunes, on the Apple Podcast app, on Google Play Music for all of you Android listeners, as well as Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, and all of your favorite podcasting apps. So normally I would say you can support us on Patreon, but as I said before, I would like to ask, go on my Facebook and support Yasu. It's a beautiful organization. We can get to Patreon next week. Chris?
Next week, since I know you're not tired of listening to us, it's all about the dish. We'll be bringing to you an entire episode full of great conversations and stories from all over the LGBT community.
That's amazing. Trish?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, so before I thank you to Davis Mallory, I do want to bring up our event that we all went to on Wednesday because we didn't talk about it.
We should.
True. I just want to thank Robert Reeder so much for spotlighting Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast at Pride and Plays at Hartford Stage. We saw an amazing show and we got to meet some amazing people. And...
We lied. We're not closing up the show. Let's talk about this. Okay. For the first time in Gay Talk history, all three hosts showed up to an event at once.
Mm-hmm. And we all looked very good.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Because, you know, normally, like, for example, when we went out to New York to see Hans, it was Chris and I. When we went out to, where did we go?
We always go to the Hartford
Gayman's Chorus. Mm-hmm. It's always Nick and I. The one other time, I lied, that we were together was when we were in D.C. But aside from that.
And then me and Chris went to New York together for the Voices 4.
Mm-hmm.
And for Afterglow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where Chris and Nick and Jess Brannis laid naked in a bed.
No, we weren't naked. I saw her pretty boobies, though.
Oh. Pretty boobies. Okay.
Not naked.
Okay. Oh, God. You were in your underwear.
Off track.
Yeah. All right. Keep that together. It was a pleasure to meet Robert Reeder for the first time, for me personally.
First of all, that play.
amazing. Age of Innocence at Harford Stage.
Holy crap. If it's still there, you guys can check it out. Go. I was on the edge of my seat. The actors were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We also had the actress who played Ariel from The Little Mermaid, who was playing one of the lead roles on the play.
Yep. Sierra Bodas.
Yes.
Bodas. I think that's how you say it.
Bodas. Bodas. We're back to the bony.
She was amazing.
We're back to the bunny.
Oh, Bodas! No, she was amazing. She was actually, after the show, we went and stopped and got a bite to eat and had a cocktail. Mm-hmm. And she was there, and I asked her for a photo. And after the photo, I realized that I never told her directly that I loved the show and that she was amazing. So after I posted the photo and tagged her in it, I messaged her privately, and I was like, I'm an asshole, and I'm sorry, by the way. Thank you for the photo, but your show was amazing.
Yeah, she was great. The whole cast was great. It was an absolute pleasure to be there. And we also got an opportunity to engage with potential listeners and people who...
potential partnerships, too.
Of course. Absolutely. It was just an amazing experience mm-hmm. all around. And so their upcoming show for the Harford Gaiman's Chorus is coming up in April. We're going to be putting some flyers on our website and also on our social media for them mm-hmm. To allow people to experience what it is this amazing chorus does.
Yep. And Pride and Plays is an event in which they spotlight a local organization that supports the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And it was great just to chat with everybody, and people really seemed to enjoy our conversation. So it was a lot of fun.
It was great, yeah.
All that being said, thank you again, Robert Reeder. But thank you to our guest, Davis Mallory, for joining us once again on the show. His latest musical collaboration, Dance With Me, is available on iTunes, Spotify, and other music streaming services. Make sure you check it out.
Absolutely. And you can find Davis Mallory on all of the social media outlets under Davis Mallory.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
It's amazing. All right.
Can we put a rubber on this episode?
How many do you have in your pocket?
Well, I forgot one, but let's pretend it's there. You know, you say that, yeah, it's on, kind of thing.
Hard-ons, wide-ons.
Hard-ons and wide-ons.
As long as you're not freaking sniffing condoms, we're good. Go.
On that note, as always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0, Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0, Twitter, at Gaytalk20. You can also email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, you can do so on our website. Just click on the Contact Us tab at the top of the web browser, where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or a question for an individual host like Chris always
gets.
That
doesn't happen anymore, okay?
Yes, it does. Don't lie. Anyway, you can also leave us a question via voice message. We can answer your question on the show. You can just call 334-GAY-TALK, and if you need the numbers, that's 334-429-8255. Do not forget that we stream live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye!
My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the lonely, but it's too hard to show it. Too hard to show it. Danse avec moi, danse avec moi, danse avec moi. Do I fall? Sun on my shoulders, the sun's on my shoulders. My heart's a winding road, but I can't control it, and nobody knows it. Do I fall in love? 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 Do I fall? You are the one to make me think twice, and you are the one.
do I fall?